Welcome to the Japan Baseball Weekly Podcast for July 2nd. I'm John Gibson, and with me as usual is Jim Allen. How you doing, bud?
I'm doing well, and just to remind our listeners out there that we are brought to you by Shooters Nagoya, unless I forgot.
Thank you for that. Yes, we are. Yes, we are.
Thank you, Nagoya, for helping us out.
Thanks a lot, Chris. We'll be seeing you soon, I hope. How you doing? How's it going today? You're busy?
You know the answer to the question. Not particularly. Really busy in the afternoon, not so much. We had no night games, nothing going on in Japan tonight, so it was a little slow.
So you had a lot of time to watch the games on Sunday?
Not so much, because I was busy until the games were finished.
Okay. Well, that makes sense. It makes sense. All right, well, this week we've got an interview with Vladimir Balentin of the Yakult Swallows. We're going to talk about all-star voting, and we're going to hit a couple other topics. So let's start clearing the bases.
Wow. Okay, an interview. Well, that's a pretty highfalutin name for Coco and I shooting the breeze, essentially, last week at Tokyo Dome. But he's been on a home run tear. Slowed up a little bit this week.
Came back to normal.
Yeah, back to normal to just a couple a week. But he was, I think he hit four the week before that, and three and two games against the Giants, I think. Anyway, before we move on to Mr. Balentin, he was struggling at the start of Interleague, and then we had a Coco Gate or Crispy Gate or Twitter. That's what it was. His Twitter Gate.
Crispy Gate. What kind of cereal do you eat in the morning? Crispy Gate.
Well, it was some kind of gate.
All right.
That gate led to Tota Koan, where the Swallows farm team plays their games. That's where the Twitter man was sent. And he didn't want to talk about that at all. And this is like the second week in a row, or 2 weeks out of three, I talked to somebody, and I'm not going to talk about that.
Hey, well, you got Matt Merton to talk, and after Balentin shoots you down in this interview, you keep on talking, and you got some good stuff out of him.
Yeah, he just said, I didn't want to talk about that. That's okay. Anyway, so he doesn't want to talk about the Twitter. That's fine. It's old hat. I hadn't seen him, so that's fair enough. Anyway, we talk a little bit about this, and we talk a little about that, and we wander a little bit, but he says some interesting things, and so let's hear what Vlad the Impaler Coco Balentin's got to say.
About the Twitter.
I'm over that.
Yeah, we wanted to hear about it.
I don't talk about that anymore.
Oh.
I'm sorry.
Bad experience?
Yeah, I just don't want to talk about it.
Okay.
I'm over it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Fair enough. And about the home runs.
That's what you're talking about.
Okay.
Let's talk about
you like hitting home runs? I mean, does it feel different when you hit a home run than...
Of course, That's mean you're having a great at bat. Great thing on the bat, on the ball,
Okay.
That's a great feeling.
You've been doing a lot of that recently.
Yeah, that's why I'm here, to help my team.
Yeah.
I try to help any way I can, and
right.
If I'm helping it that way, I'm blessed to do it.
Okay. Now, second year in Japan, it seems like you're one of the guys where the ball doesn't really, you didn't have to adjust to a new ball because it was, it was the ball when you got here.
I mean, I never play with the old balls, but I mean, as a power hitter, I mean, when you hit the ball, you still go out, I can't complain on the balls because I never use the old ball, but
right.
This ball, it's fine with me.
Okay. Now, how is the... What adjustments did you make coming into the second year? Mental or
more consistent? Just it's tough game.
Right.
I don't try to take anything for granted. I just wanna stay consistent.
Okay.
Yeah.
Have you been better at it this year than last? I mean, you got off to a hot start last year and this year.
Yeah. I start great last year. And I don't finish the way I want to finish.
Right.
This year I start nice too.
Okay.
It was a nice start. I get a little struggle in the interleague, but I'm glad it's over and get back to center league and try to do what I've been doing and try to have success.
Okay. Now, speaking of interleague, when you're playing, you're seeing guys you're not used to seeing. Now, how mentally is it? Do you prefer just facing the same five teams all year, or do you like the variety, or is it a distraction, or?
It's kind of tough because you don't see those guys. You know, you only see them like once a year.
Right.
And you don't know the game plan they have on you.
Right.
You know the way they pitch you. You don't know all those stuff. So you just have to go in there and try to battle. And that's been tough for me the last 2 years. But I mean, I will stay on it. I mean, I will never just give up on that. I mean,
okay.
I hope I have another year next year, and I will try to improve.
Okay, so coming back out of Interleague is a little bit of a...
Yeah, it's a little relief, yeah. You know, it's a big relief, you know, because we face those teams every week, you know,
right.
And we already know the pitchers for a long time, and, you know, you get more confident when you face a pitcher you faced before than facing a pitcher that you never see.
Okay, you're like made for Japanese baseball, man.
I wish.
Okay, so what's up? What part of being in Japan in your second year, what parts have you enjoyed the most?
Oh, I enjoy the guys around me.
Okay.
All my teammates, you know. I just, like, it's my second year, but feel like I'm being here forever, you know.
Okay.
And those guys nice, and I love to be around them, you know. I think that's the most part I enjoy, because if I don't enjoy my teammates, I won't be able to play the baseball the way I have to play, you know.
Okay.
Yeah.
And your whole game is with recently your manager said you like to see, he says, and the home runs are great, but I wish you had some other hits as well. Like boom or bust, babe.
Yeah, I mean, it doesn't matter, you know. I mean, I go for 4-5, but I get the big home run to win the game. That's all that matters. I mean, I can be a home run. I can be a hit.
Right.
I really don't care what it is. I
right.
just want it to be a good result, and we win the ball game. And so far, it's been home run.
Right.
And those home runs help us win game. But,
right.
you know, it won't be like that forever. You
right.
know, it's just like a stretch where every player didn't hit home runs for a week or something
right.
like that. But, I mean,
yeah.
I wish I can stay like that. But, I mean, the truth is that... Everybody knows it's baseball, you know.
Sure.
Things still turn around, and it's still a long season, so it's a lot of hits to come.
So you got the pitchers got them. They must be scrambling to make some adjustments right now.
That's everywhere. Everybody, you know. I mean,
always
it will be like that.
Sure.
You know, they never want to give up a long ball to any hitters, so they try to do their adjustments. We as a hitter try to do our adjustments, and at the end, the one that makes better adjustment win the battle.
Sure. Okay, how's your physical condition this year? Good?
Doing good, man. Great.
Excellent.
I mean, yeah.
That's hard to do. It's a long season.
Yeah, I mean, we got two months spring training and then get to the season. It's long, you know. But, you know, the thing is just stay healthy. And,
right.
I'm healthy right now, and I have to thank God I am, and just try to stay healthy. That's more important.
How about staying mentally sharp? Because it is it's the same thing, the same routine every single day. And
yeah, but you know, it's just like a job already. It's like work, you know. Like
okay.
Everybody wake up in the morning, put their suits, and go to the office. This is our job right now, you know.
It just
get used to it.
Okay.
And It's something we love, you know.
Right.
When you love and you play with passion,
right.
you don't need to stay mentally tough.
Okay.
It's something you love, you know.
Was this, you come to Japan and all of a sudden you're playing all the time, every day at the top level in this country. That must have been a big switch for you, because I knew you were up and down and all over the place. And
yeah, I mean, when I was in the States, I was in the big league, AAA, having not a lot of opportunity to play every day and on a higher level, and I think I had the ability to compete in a higher level. So when I get the opportunity to come over here, play on a higher level, and you know, try to compete, I just take it. And you know, when I get here, I just try to make little adjustments to stay up here, and so far so good. And I hope this opportunity will be a great opportunity for me and my family in the future.
All right. Well, good. Best wishes to you.
Thanks, buddy.
And stay healthy, man.
All right, man. Appreciate
it. Good talk to you. All right, man. Good luck.
All right. Well, thank you, Mr. Ballantine. It's always a pleasure to talk to you.
It's always a pleasure to talk to him, but I'm not sure I understand everything he's saying all the time. Doesn't he speak like four languages?
He might. He might. That's probably the thing. He was speaking too many languages for me. But
languages going on in his head there. I know he's from Curacao, and I know he speaks a couple of languages at least, but I heard it was four.
Yeah, I know he can speak Spanish, and he would be able to speak Dutch if he's from Curacao, so that would give him three. I don't know what the other language is.
Yeah, maybe Japanese.
Maybe Japanese. Maybe that's we should be speaking in Japanese. Okay, but no, but he's a big, friendly guy and always a pleasure to talk with. And a couple of things were interesting to me about that was one was he's one of the hitters. He's one of the few foreign hitters who doesn't – let's say I know guys who don't like Interleague because it's Interleague, because it has travel.
Right.
It has that weird schedule, 2 days on, two on and an off day. Instead of you're traveling every third day instead of every fourth day.
Right. It's hard to find a rhythm. I get it.
Right. So that's normal. But for him, it was the thing that a lot of people like about Interleague, which is you get to face people you don't normally get to face. But for him, that was something he wasn't keen on. So
yeah.
That was kind of interesting.
Yeah, it was. I mean, yeah, he's been hitting well since his return to the first team from his twidiotic episode, I like to call it.
Come up with that one. You did harder work today, I could tell.
No, but really, I think.
I hope you didn't use a can of spray paint.
Oh, come on. No, I could tell he wasn't a fan of Interleague, and it was really apparent, and his team took it on the chin as well, and it didn't seem like they were really interested. And I'm wondering how prevalent that attitude is among the Japanese players, because obviously there's just a few foreigners.
Right.
But I'd like to know.
Do the Japanese players hate Interleague?
The Japanese Central League players?
No,
Do you think the Pacific League players do as well?
That's not true. Now, I would say that the pitchers might like it a fair amount in the Central League. I know Shohei Tateyama's a big fan.
I remember you talking about that, yeah.
Right. But I think the hitters in both leagues, none of them really like it because, it's for the Japanese guys, because, Hisanobu Watanabe, a couple of weeks ago, talked about how he says, no, our team prepares just as well for Interleague as we do for the regular season. There's no different.
Bunk.
Yeah. Well, you can prepare, but the numbers are so small.
Yeah.
You can tell your batters that we've seen this guy and this is what you're going to expect to see from this pitcher and blah, 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 blah. But your scouts haven't been looking at him. You know, they stop looking once Interleague starts.
Right.
You know, so they basically looked at these people from April. And so as opposed to looking at them since last May. So it's a little different. They don't have the numbers. They don't have this. They don't have that. They can prepare the same, but the players still haven't seen them. And that's the other part of the thing. They're used to seeing them. And, you know, in Japan, man, you don't want to go against the grain. And you know what I'm saying about this? When things are supposed to work right, everybody's happy. It's like, but everything works. The trains run on time. But when the trains stop, you'll see the worst behavior in the world in Japan. People screaming. I've seen, salarymen screaming like babies on the train platform because the trains aren't running, and crying because the trains aren't running.
Yeah.
So when things don't work as smoothly as they're supposed to, people really get upset by that here. And it doesn't surprise me at all that players, take this Interleague as an insult to them. I mean, I know the first year, I think I've talked about this before, the first year of Interleague, Hiromitsu Uchiha, the second year manager of the Dragons, basically said Interleague is an affront to baseball and blah, blah, blah. And all the Dragons walked around like, Interleague, we shouldn't even have to be playing Interleague. You know, that attitude pervaded the team. And geez, what a surprise. The Dragons went right in the tank.
Yeah, and this, it just, you know, the whole thing, the whole attitude that he had toward it, it just, it rubbed me the wrong way. It bothered me. I don't know why. And then in the next breath, he said, well, it's our job and we love it. We love coming to the ballpark and all this stuff, but he'd rather, you know, I think this gets some, it gives us some insight in, as into why the Central League struggles is because they like the song and dance. You know, they know that this guy throws X ball at, in this location and these counts and stuff. And they just come to expect that stuff. And when they go up there looking for things or seeing things that they're not used to looking at, it just makes them uncomfortable. They rather go back to the same old dull routine. I don't get it. I think that's why the team had such a terrible time.
Since then, they did a lot better. I mean, they had ups and downs, but everybody does. But
yeah, but they were awful this year.
That first year, yeah. Well, I'm talking about the first year. The first year of Interleague, yeah, they were a disaster.
And they finished. I mean, officially, they finished in last place if you look at winning percentage this season. So, ugh.
Yeah, well, that's another story. I mean, that's a different manager, a different team. Although the great stuff from the Dragons yesterday was kind of fun, but that's for another time. Anyway, so Ballantyne's been crunching the ball, and he was John pointed out that Mr. Junji Ogawa, his manager, was saying, you know, you was saying he should hit more singles. So I mentioned that to him. He says single, home run. You know, hey, if it's a home run, what's the problem with that?
Yeah, and I was, you know, I was writing for my blog that night, and Ogawa came on. You know, I like to watch the interviews, whether I write about the game as the top game on my blog or not. And he comes on, and he says something the equivalent of, essentially, I think he said he'd rather him have more quality at-bats as opposed to just hitting home runs. And I thought it was odd because, I mean, they just won the game on a home run, and, I mean, how many hits does a guy have to get? So it just let me know that, you know, the foreigner, you know, you can get just hit home runs all the time, and they're still gonna rip at you.
Yeah, it's like
elbowing the ribs and say, hey, buddy, how about a single once in a while?
Sure, he hits 320 with lots of power and steals bases and can play defense, but do you see that guy's hair? I don't think it's that, but I think that Ballantyne is in many ways is a hit and miss player. He's a very pure player. He doesn't, it's not all about reproducing something mechanically, although one might disagree after listening to him talk about how much he prefers to see the same pitchers over and over again, but
probably the same pitch.
Yeah. High slider, please.
Well, I
love it otherwise. Okay, so now what I mean is that he would like to, I'm sure, you know, last year the talk was, you know, swing at fewer bad pitches, but that is his game. You can't dramatically, I mean, people do change and people can change, but people don't normally change.
Right.
Does that make sense?
I gotcha, yeah. I mean, so, the tiger in the stripes.
Tiger in the stripes. Okay. Well, anyway, to without making a big deal about it, you know, players who try to be, you know, to take more pitches, who aren't used to taking more pitches and need to alter more than just one thing in your approach. You just can't fix one thing because, a player's, approach to an at bat or to a pitcher or to a situation is a very complex thing. It involves lots of things, you know, the kind of pitches, you know, how they're comfortable swinging, what kind of pitches they like, what kind of pitches they expect to see in certain situations from certain catchers. They all have different keys they're looking for. And if you just say, I'm going to take more pitches, and I know one batter in Japan who was fairly successful. He was a big power hitter with the Nippon Ham Fighters, Sherman Obando. Bernardo Brito.
Mm-hmm.
Bernardo Brito, and he and I were talking. I feel really bad about this. He and I were talking one day, and you know, his agent and I, and he and I were all talking one day, and it's like the fighters are saying he doesn't walk enough, and I said. He says, I'm a power hitter. Power hitters don't walk. I said, well, Frank Thomas walks. He walks a lot. And Bernardo Brito went, wait, you're right. Some Bauer hitters do walk. I'm going to walk more. Okay, well, what happened? Oddly enough, it wasn't my doing, I'm sure. I think it was a number of things, but apparently he decided to start taking more pitches, but it wasn't part of his natural approach. So he just started taking pitches, and it just, like, dug him a hole until he was out of Japanese baseball.
Yeah.
He stopped doing what
he was
doing.
Thanks a lot, Jim Allen.
Yeah, well, that was the end of the... That was the end of the Big Bang offense due to me. That's not true. But it was
the end of the Big Burrito.
Well, that's horrible. Yeah, I make the best Big Burritos you've ever eaten, too. So.
That's true.
Anyway, so yeah, so that was kind of interesting that Coco's one of those guys. But it's also, he's fairly positive. He seems a little defensive about the fact that, you know, his game is what it is.
Well, you know, he's positive. He's a prankster, you know. He likes to play jokes, I'm sure. I think, was that the interview where somebody was getting him back while you were trying to talk to him? Because he plays jokes. He pranks with people.
No, that was what I was talking about. Barnett.
Okay. Well, I mean, yeah, he also talked about the ball being no trouble for him, and we know that he has a lot of power, and we see that the ball doesn't really, hasn't really had an effect on him. But when you asked him about what adjustments he made for this year compared to last year, he didn't tell you anything. I don't know if he wasn't willing to talk about it, or if he just forgot the question, or if it was a lost in translation thing.
Talk about something else, and that was that.
Yeah, but I found that interesting because he said, well, I want to stay in better shape because I faded out last year, and I want to
be more consistent, right?
Yeah, and yeah, great, yeah, but what adjustments are you making, dude?
He was talking about, I think his adjustment is being more prepared for the, I think the physical stress of this Japanese season and the way, the routines and rhythms of the season. I think that's what I would interpret from that. Maybe that's overly analytical, because when I mentioned about being mentally sharp, it's like, huh? And that's my job, dude.
Yeah, yeah. It's just like putting on my uniform suit and going to the baseball office.
Putting on my suit and bringing my briefcase, okay. Which brings up a great line, famous line of Sadahara O's. He said, look, I never want to hear a player say how hard he works, or a reporter talk about, you know, write a feature story about a baseball player talking about how hard they work, because that's their job. Their job is to practice hard. Okay. Yep. So let's stop talking about it, people. So that was good. I appreciated that. I enjoy the whole thing. I think he's talking more about the physical part of the game than the mental part of the game.
Mm-hmm.
I think his mental part of the game is seeing the same pitchers from the same five teams as many times as possible so he can hit as many home runs as possible.
Right. Well, it was a good interview. Thanks for going out. Hopefully I'll get to a game sometime before the year is out, and I'll be able to do another interview another time, too. But
can I borrow your pass?
Can I borrow your pass? Can we dance with yo Daves? We'll move on to the All-Star talk. Now, lots of fighters on the team, especially voted by the fans.
Yeah, you noticed that. That kind of snuck up on me because I wasn't at the office the day the fan vote was announced. Otherwise, I probably would have figured it out sooner.
8 fighters voted on by the fans.
Yeah, that's not only that, but...
Ballot stuffing, anyone?
Yeah.
What are they doing up there in Hokkaido? Nothing.
That's the answer. They got nothing else.
Nothing else. Exactly. The weather's fine. People go outside and enjoy it. Don't just stay around and stick on your computer and vote numerous times consecutively.
So, yeah, to give you an idea of the degree to which the fighters are populating the Pacific League All-Star team this year, the Pacific League voters get to vote for 12 positions. That's 8 regular position players, a designated hitter, and 3 pitchers.
Mm-hmm.
Starting pitcher, middle reliever, and a closer. So of those 12, the number one vote, 8 were fighters, right?
Mm-hmm.
Now, of the remaining 4, 3 fighters finished second in very close races, and only one of them did the middle reliever finish third. So the worst finish by a fighter was third. You know, I'd have to say you had to be injured not to make it, but that didn't matter for a couple of people.
Yeah, I was going to say that. Doesn't matter.
And this explains our speculation a few weeks ago of why Atsunori Inaba was leading the voting, because he was a fighter.
That's right. Yeah, I like the player vote a little bit better. It was a little bit closer to what I would have done. They had a lot of giants on the Central League team, though. But I think they're all worthy. They're all playoff all-star worthy, in my opinion.
Oh, you mean the player?
The player vote.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I didn't think the fan vote were horrible. I mean, you always have the same problem with the Central Pacific League catcher. You know, I have a problem saying that Moto Hiroshima is the best catcher in the Pacific League. I mean, he's not that far ahead of the pack, but he's
pack.
Okay, okay, let's put it this way. He's not at the bottom of the barrel. Which
okay, there you go. There's just, because I was going to say, there's just a couple of peanuts and some crackers, and that's about it. I would love, you know, the guys I like Ginjiro Sumitani with the Lions, my little catcher, Ito with the Buffaloes, who finally got back on the field.
Yep.
I like them more than I like Shima.
Yeah, I'll be honest. Ginjiro, I do not.
He's still young.
He's erratic. Ito, yes, I do like Ito. His problem is not that he's young, except that he's often hurt.
Yes, often. Too often. Too often.
So, but otherwise, who was picked? You know, the players' picks were very good. Of course, the Pacific League. I mean, you just want to take the, sorry, I love your Fighters fans, but.
You can't put all your favorite players on the team. It doesn't work like that.
Saito. Yuki Saito. Well, I guess the best thing to say for Yuki Saito is that this year he won't have to depend on 400 or was it 10 people voting him for him on the plus one internet voting.
That's right. Yeah. Well, Yuki Saito started off really well for the Fighters, but recently he's had his head handed to him, and I think he misplaced that too. So he's not doing very well recently. But everybody goes through good stretches. Everybody goes through bad stretches. But I like what the players did in the voting, Sugiuchi for pitcher, and then Abe. Abe's just tearing it up.
Voted by the fans, too. Sort of a no-brainer. We had a few no-brainers there.
Yeah, Sakamoto at short. I like that pick. Chono in the outfield, and Takahashi in the outfield.
If
he's healthy, he's very productive. And
well, Takahashi was voted by the players as well, by the fans as well, I think.
Yeah. Well, he's popular. We're talking about popular vote versus the actual vote here.
Well, yeah. And Chono, too, and Abe, of course. Abe was the big vote getter in the Central League. Mm-hmm. And, in fact, Sugiuchi was the player who got the most votes from the players who wasn't already named by the fans, so... that was kind of interesting. The Pacific League outfield was interesting by the players,
mm-hmm.
in that we had Ryo Hijirizawa.
Hijirizawa. Close. You were close. Give you points. A for effort, baby. A for effort. I'm teasing because that name is so long and so difficult. I'll mix it up too. Yeah.
Indeed. And Seiji Uchikawa.
Yeah, which I kind of don't agree with, but.
Well. I don't know. I think you have to do, you know, well, you don't have to agree with it. I mean, how often do we agree?
True.
We agreed last December once. I remember that.
We just agreed just now that we don't agree very
much. Okay.
We're so agreeable.
I think there's, yes. Okay. The thing that I would do is you want to ask, I mean, there's so many different criteria for an all-star game. First, you want somebody who's popular. You want somebody who the fans want to see.
Mm-hmm.
And you want somebody who's good. Now, sometimes popularity brings you the case of, you know, we've heard this, oh, he hasn't paid his dues, he hasn't earned his way on, but you know what? Who's the game for? It's not for the players. It's not for you and me. It's for the fans.
Which brings up a really good point is that it's not one game. You know, I would understand all this talk and all this voting stuff if it were just one game.
Oh,
but it's three games, man. Three.
Yeah, that's true. What we need in Japan is an all-star non-proliferation treaty.
That's beautiful. These things are
like toxic. You know, I'm glad I'm glad that the fans in Iwate get an all-star game, because, you know, the chances are that if it weren't for the earthquake and tsunami last year, they never would have gotten a whiff of one.
Right.
But what do we need? What do we need two games for, even?
We don't. And just to go through them, the games are July 20th, 21st, and 23rd. And on the 20th, it's at Kyocera Dome, Osaka. Then on the 21st, Matsuyama Bochan Stadium.
Nice.
And
spot.
Then on the 23rd, it's in Iwate.
It's in Morioka. It's at Iwate Prefectural Stadium.
Okay. So it's just, there's three games. I mean, it's hard to catch them. They're Friday, Saturday, and Monday. It's like no rhyme or reason. If it was just one game, you know, I would understand all the fuss, but it's three games. I mean, you have, the good thing is these guys who get voted in get to play a lot. You know,
sure.
they don't get yanked after a couple, three innings or something.
Yeah. I think there is that. The third game is always the fastest game. The best thing about the third game is it's always the fastest game because everybody wants to finish it and go home.
You know what the rule is? Fastballs and sliders swing at the first strike. That's what the rule is.
Well, it was certainly the rule the first game I ever went to, the first All-Star game. It was the first out-of-town All-Star game I went to at Muscat Stadium in Kurashiki, Yokohama Prefecture,
uh-huh.
And it was raining. So you know how fast they played that? It was like, strike, bam, strike, bam, strike, bam.
Umpire says, too, he says, hey, if you let it go and it's not rolling or at your head, it's a strike.
About a 2-hour and 20-minute game, and most of the guys were just dogging it. A couple of guys, I remember Makoto Kosaka was one of the heroes. It was a fun game. But nobody really wanted to be there, and I guess the one thing I do with the All-Star game, and other than, you know, let's say we can't ditch the second and third game, find a better thing to do than these god-awful home run derbies.
Yeah, at least they're faster than the ones the Major League does, where they take a whole day before the All-Star game and do it, but they're still, you know, useless. So, hey, did you find it interesting about what the players vote, that there were no, the Dragons, what was it, Tony Blanco and
Kazuhiro Wada
were the only two on there, and I don't think either one of those two guys is deserving. And then Iwase wasn't there?
Yeah, Iwase isn't going to be there.
Well, I mean, you know, the 25 saves couldn't even impress the voters, the players. I mean, they know what's happening. They see it because they face him and they know what's happening.
Well,
he's had a good stretch recently, but.
You say that, but I will remind you of what I said before we were recording the show, is the people who voted on it are, I think, the 758 players on standard NPB contracts, which means of the 28 guys on the, so most of the people who are playing are kids who watch these games from their dorm rooms because they don't get to real games.
Right.
So, you know, they know the players' names and blah, blah, blah. But, you know, that's another thing. But they are professionals and they do get to watch a little bit here and there. So I give them some credit. But I think if you had to pick, I don't know, if I had to pick a team, I'd start with, you know, I had a pitcher. And it only had to play one season. Well, I'd pick a starting pitcher rather than a reliever, so I'd take Sugiuchi over Iwase. So there you go.
Yeah, yeah.
How did
sense.
I should ask? How did Iwase do in the players' vote?
That's what I'm saying. He didn't get in. He wasn't chosen in the players' vote.
He wasn't one of the top three voted in, I guess.
No.
Okay.
No,
right.
Not that I saw. I mean, I just saw Sugiuchi was the only one I saw on there. Of course, I cut and pasted and sent it to you so you could see it too. And
yeah, I saw that.
Sugiuchi was the only one. Yeah, yeah. All right. Well, we'll have to see. I mean, you know, even at first base, I didn't think. I mean, Tony Blanco was a player of the month for.
Well, let me ask then, who would you add tomorrow? The managers are going to name the rest of their teams on Monday.
Well, I don't know. I mean, the Dragons have some quality players. It's just that they play well as a team more so than any individual stands out.
Like Iwase, yeah,
I mean, saves, the fact that he's closing out games doesn't really mean anything to me. I look at, you know, how he's pitching, whether it's the eighth inning, seventh inning, or the ninth.
But you're not a big believer in results.
Oh, no, I'm not worried about what a save is. I mean, he's gotten some saves, he's gotten some victories, but he got the victory because he blew a save, or he got the save because somebody made a great play in the outfield to catch a ball that was, you know, stung out there. I mean, it's not how.
So you've seen all of his saves then?
No, I haven't seen them all. I've seen most of them though.
Okay.
Yeah, being a fan, I try to watch the games. I've seen most of them, but okay. I'm just saying.
Well, the problem when people tell you, I didn't like what I saw, because you can rarely watch everything.
Yeah, that is a problem. And like I said, I haven't seen them all. I've watched most, and that's not all. And probably his last three saves, I haven't gotten to see him pitch, but I know he's sent them. He's gotten a side in order a lot of times.
Just to provide a little information here for the listeners, Sugiuchi beat the fans' pick was Kenta Maeda, the Carp, for mm-hmm. the Central League starting pitcher, and the players essentially don't get to vote for anybody but a starting pitcher. Well, they get to pick a pitcher,
mm-hmm.
but I think the voting is rigged towards starters, to be honest, because no relievers seem to get any votes. And the players gave 426 votes for Sugiuchi and 95 for Kenta Maeda, which was one of the most lopsided votes in this whole thing. Blanco had 317 votes, and the next best was Norihiro Nakamura. It's just kind of a bad year for first baseman in the Central League. So
look around. I mean, Kenta Kurihara, the Carp, he's injured. Kazuhiro Takayama, no. Brazil,
Nakamura's had a good season. You know, I think those two were probably about dead even. One's a better player and one's having a better season.
Yeah, and then with the Giants, what do you got? Soup of the day on first base? I mean, you know, they're changing all the time. Edgar Gonzalez is playing a lot of first base recently. Belker was playing first base.
Well, that was, probably the biggest margin of all the voting was at shortstop in the Pacific League, where the fans, nobody was fooled except the fans. And Nakajima Hiroyuki got more than 10 times as many votes as number two, Kenji Akashi of the Hawks. But again, this is a case of who's on short. Nobody really knows any of the shortstops in the Pacific League right now, other than Kaneko and Nakajima.
That's right.
Yeah. So that was kind of interesting. The big, the guys who got big votes. They also picked, Keiichi Hirano.
Mm-hmm.
He got pretty solid voting from the players, but yeah, it was okay. I do like the players voting because it shows you a little contrast, but it is for the fans. So, you know, I can't blame the fans for ballot box stuffing, and I never have, because it's just a really stupid system they've set up where everybody's vote is the same. And I don't mean to say it shouldn't be one vote equals one vote, but you know, what they should do is, take all the internet voting and make that 1/13th of the ballot or something, and take all the votes that are cast at the ballpark for each team as like an electoral vote. So there would be 13 votes essentially for every position.
I see.
You know, so if, for example, if Inaba won the vote at the Fighters home park, if a million Fighters fans stuffed the internet ballot, well, that would only be the internet ballot and the Fighters home park. They couldn't stuff the ballot at every park in Japan.
Mm-hmm.
So we'd have some, you know, basically it would let, you know, take the idiot factor out of the voting. So,
yeah, but it would, I mean, also you look at places that have better attendance, you know, look at Oryx versus Nippon Ham. They wouldn't have the same number of attendance. So
the thing will be, yeah, but that would be irrelevant. That would be irrelevant. If the Oryx fans, you know, don't vote for their guy, it'll be decided by the people who vote for somebody else's team, for somebody else's player. That's where it'll be decided.
Okay.
You don't, if all the fight, you know, it doesn't matter if 2 million Fighters people vote for Inaba if nobody else does, because they'll just get one vote from the Fighters fans, is what I'm saying. You get, each team gets one vote, and then the fans decide who gets that vote.
I see.
Through a popular ballot, and you could put the internet as the 13th vote or something, but And that would end the ballot box stuffing because it wouldn't be anybody's to anybody's advantage to stuff the ballot box.
Yeah, but of course now you're diminishing the fan vote, and so
what?
How would that? Well, because it doesn't count for as much. So would as many people vote? I don't know that they would take part in the vote if they knew it didn't count as much.
I guess if it penalized stuffing the ballot box, it would reduce the people. It would have fewer people stuffing the ballot box for sure.
All right, well, we can talk about this next week. After Monday, when the managers, is it the managers who make their announcement, make their picks on Monday, so we can talk about this next week too. And send you, this system is stupid. Remember that quote from Jim Allen? All right, let's talk about Tomoaki Kanemoto of the Hanshin Tigers. He hit a milestone the other day, 2,500 hits at 44 years and 2 months. He's the oldest player to reach that number of hits, and he moved up to number 7 on the all-time list.
Yeah, not only that, he's number 7, and before the end of the season, he will probably be number he'll at least be number 5, but he could easily be number 4. And I'll tell you the company he's keeping now, which is number 1 on the list is 3,085 hits in those dinky little 130-game seasons is Isao Harimoto.
Yeah.
Next at 2,901 is Katsuya Nomura, former catcher, so which is pretty amazing because he was a catcher.
Yeah.
Sadaharu Oh, I guess, needs no introduction, 2,786 hits. And now we drop off 200 hits, and this is where Kanemoto's headed. He's basically headed to number 4 on the all-time hits list, behind Oh. And the people in front of him are Hiromitsu Kadeta, Hall of Famer, Sachio Kinugasa, Hall of Famer, Yutaka Fukumoto, Hall of Famer. And they're just, Kadeta number 4 is 2,566 hits. So it's probably a stretch to think Kanemoto will get pass him this year, but he'll pass him this year or next. So, it's pretty exalted company. And Kanemoto took a long time. As you said, he was the oldest player when he reached 2,500 hits.
And that was all because he didn't get an opportunity right away, right?
Right, right. He was basically a platoon outfielder. He was a fourth round draft pick out of Tohoku Fukushi University in Sendai, and he was basically platooned for several years because that's what one did in the early 90s in Hiroshima.
Why did they do that? Why did they just let the good players play? Why did they always have to?
Well, the problem was they had so many good outfielders at that time.
I remember you talked about the time that he started, that there were so many good outfielders, but well, obviously this guy was a stud.
Okay. Yeah, but they also had Tomonari Maeda, who was at that point a regular, and he was he could have easily been one of the best players in Japan, despite the fact that he's not a friend of the media. And they had Koichi Ogata, who was a great, great player, and they had Yuzo Yamasaki, who was a great, great player. You know, they really, to be honest, they were just overstocked with the great outfielders. There was just no place to put somebody who was an undeveloped,
unproven,
an aspiring talent.
Yeah.
But he certainly broke through that logjam eventually and became one of the great players of all time. So more credit to him.
Well, that's where I like the U.S. team sometimes, because they see that they have a stockpile of talent. And although guys like Ogata got injured often, he was still a good player, but he was often injured. You know, you trade a guy like that. You use that guy to get another piece.
And
they don't do that in Japan so much.
Yeah, no, they don't. They're too busy trying to figure out which center fielder should be a second baseman and vice versa.
Or they're lining up the young players to throw things at them. What did you say they were doing?
With the Marty Brown line, I asked him when Kanemoto got his 2,000th hit, I asked Marty Brown about him. Then he was managing in Japan. He says, yeah, I remember Kanemoto. I remember he was one, you know, I think – hopefully, looking back on his time with the Carp, hopefully, as a manager, he said, hopefully that I'll leave them with a legacy of better player development than throwing baseball, taking the rookies out to the foul pole and throwing baseballs at them.
Yeah. Well, he's turned out to be quite a player, and been very productive with the Hanshin Tigers. He can still play. We hope he gets to another milestone.
Hard to believe he's been with the Tigers for 10 years now.
Yeah,
this is a 10th season. Wow.
It is. All right, let's talk about a few injuries that have gone down. Four fighters are now down.
it's like when is somebody going to throw in the towel over there? Give them a standing eight count.
At least ring a bell somewhere so they come back to the corner. I mean, these fighters are just going down. Inaba got injured with an ankle. We talked about that on the show last week. Termell Sledge has a knee injury. What's going on in that thing? Nothing good, it sounds.
He was deactivated on the 22nd of June. He went back to the States for an examination, and the 30th of June he was diagnosed with having, I'm not going to try to say it in English, basically the cartilage, a big chunk of cartilage between his thigh bone and his knee was all lacerated, and he's got all kinds of things hanging around and running around in his knee. So they're saying he will be out indefinitely. So he won't get to play in the All-Star, his first All-Star game.
Egads. Poor guy. Then Makoto Kaneko of the Fighters, he got injured going for a ball in the deep in the hole at short and didn't come up with it and came up with a lame knee, and he's out. Eiichi Koyano got hit in the face with a relay throw on a double play ball. And he had 9 stitches, I heard, but he didn't get activated. He didn't get deactivated, and he's still playing, so I guess he's all right.
Yeah, he hit a home run the other night at Cebu Dome, so I guess he's okay.
Yeah, so what about Falkenberg?
Brian Falkenberg was out in the middle of May, and they didn't know, with severe stiffness in his right shoulder. They really didn't diagnose it too much. They just let him rest, and it felt better. It took a month to feel better. He came back. He was activated on the 22nd of June, and he pitched finally on the 26th, one inning, and the aftermath of his pitching was not good. His shoulder did not feel right. He said his arm action was okay, but the shoulder was stiff, and they sent him back down to the farm a day or two ago. Where they will have tests run on him this time. I'm not certain if they didn't run tests before, but they talked about tests this time.
All right. Well, good luck to those guys. Hope they get back soon. Hope they get healthy. Now, a couple of new players you wanted to talk about. Go ahead and talk about those two guys.
Yeah, the Hiroshima Carp have signed Brad Eldred. Brad Eldred is a big slugging career minor leaguer with who was most recently with the Detroit Tigers. In fact, he hit so many home runs in Toledo this spring that the Tigers said, well, hold on a second. This guy's going to sit there and hit home runs. Let him hit them for us instead of in Toledo.
Yeah, and, hang on a second, dude.
He struck out a lot, and then he went back to Toledo, and he just kept blasting more home runs. And I think probably the Carp said, look, if you're not going to use this guy, we'll give you some money for him. And I suspect, it said he was released, and I'm sure – team executive recently told me the news in America is he's released so he can pursue opportunities in Japan. Other interests in Japan. Sounds like they're going to take up flower arranging or something.
Yeah, but it sounds like you've got a new hobby.
And a similar case is Terry Doyle, who's a new pitcher for the SoftBank Hawks. Now, he's really interesting because this guy – the fact that he has a teacher's credential and he spends his off season as a substitute teacher and has a degree in education from Boston College, he has amazing control. I mean, in the minor leagues, he had this, he's not a big strikeout pitcher, but he does strike guys out and he never walks anybody.
Right.
So it's going to be really interesting. His manager, Koji Akiyama, said, they were eager to get him into camp so he can into the bullpen so he can watch him throw. And he said that the thing about Japan, what many people have told me in the past is for pitchers is to learn what pitches Japanese batters are going to take that they swing at in the States.
Mm-hmm.
because what works there doesn't always work here because the batting philosophies and the batters are a little different. So,
geez, well, I heard a lot of guys talk a good game, including Brad Penny, who's back with the San Francisco Giants. You know, he got called up the other day, so an ex-Hawks pitcher. One game.
I think the Dodgers could use him.
Ooh, that's low. That's just low.
Yep.
That's right. Hit us when we're down. That's fine. You know, we can take a shot. You got to be able to take a shot. We'll be able to give some.
Hit you again when you're down.
Yeah, well, we might be down for the rest of the season. But,
some bickering.
Yeah. Well, that brings up one interesting thing, which I wanted to talk about. I think it's okay to look at the standings now since it's July. But I don't want to look at them since now the Giants have taken over first place with a three-game sweep on Sunday of the Dragons. But you know,
not the Dodgers. It was both teams in blue. Okay.
Yeah. Thanks for that double shot. I see. I turned the other cheek. He waxed that one too. I got no more cheeks to turn. He's still hitting. I would start looking at the standings. We have some separation. We have a little bit of separation in both leagues.
So we have separation.
Weird. Yeah, it's a space shuttle.
Yes, the first stage is descending to Earth in the form of the Yokohama DNA Bay Stars.
Whoa, that's hurtling.
Plummeting, baby.
Plummeting out of control. Yeah. But, we have some separation. It's good to look at these things. I think the Pacific League, like you said last week, is still up in the air and still, I think any team can come back and contend, although it doesn't look like, you see the Hawks going out to sign players now and getting a foreign player they're bringing in a new import at this stage. They're looking for help because they got swept up in Sendai this week. So
they were looking for help before they got swept in Sendai. So,
well, they were looking for it, but it didn't mean that they found anything. And they
to me, I like the Hawks organization. So, I think they're in a, and first of all, the other thing to with the Hawks is this, they're not going to panic. So they've got an enormous amount of talent on their farm team. So, if the pieces just don't work, they'll find some kind of solution. It's hard to think the Hawks won't finish in the top third, regardless of that, you know, they're in fifth place now.
Yeah, I know this. They've had a bad stretch, and every team goes through it, so they'll probably get over it. And same with the Dragons. They're going through a bad stretch, so maybe they'll figure it out. But teams are still in it, so I wouldn't worry about it too much. Now, we do have a couple of questions from listeners, so let's go to fielding questions. All right, the first one comes from Arthur in Arkansas, and he says, you have to wonder if Japanese baseball, based on American baseball, of course, is giving any thought to adopting any form of this year's changes in playoff format. The changes he's talking about have taken place in the major leagues. I'd be interested to know if anyone thinks there'd be any carryover. And I think we talked about this. We had a similar question by a listener last year. And all I can say is, given the number of teams in Japan, the low number in the two leagues, that there is no way they should add to the playoff format. There are three teams from each league that make the playoffs now. There are enough teams in the postseason, and I'm not even sure that they deserve to be in it, although we saw a third-place team from the Pacific League win the Japan Series in 2010. So I think that's about the limit, though. I wouldn't want to see any teams that have played less than 500 baseball for 144 games get into the postseason. I think it would be a waste of time.
Can I say that I don't really care? I mean, it's,
no, you can't.
Because then I won't, but the fact is that I don't. Whatever format they choose is fine with me. It doesn't really bother me. It'd be the NBA where, three quarters of the teams make the playoffs. That's okay with me. It doesn't really bother me one way or the other. They're two different formats. There's no right or wrong answer. This is not algebra.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think it's a matter of finding the format that works best for them. Will they change because the American system changed? The answer is no, they'll change because the change will come was when the Pacific League finds a better format and the Central League complains about it until they reinvent it with a new name that they invented to say it was their idea.
They follow their own history.
Yeah, well, that's the Climax series. You know, the Climax series started as the Pacific League playoffs, and the Central League basically complained about it for 3 years until they got tired of the Pacific League kicking their butts in the Japan series every year.
So they said, we're going to have one of those too. We'll have two.
And they fixed it. I mean, the Japan series has been much more even since the Central League fixed their playoff problem.
It has. So, Arthur, thank you for the question, and I think my answer is no, and Jim's is...
Well, I don't care. Will they change? They won't change to have anything to do with the way they're doing it in the U.S. There's no... unlike a lot of areas where Japan follows what the U.S. does,
right?
The playoffs is not really one of them. It's one of the things that they consider their prerogative. So, okay, I don't think that'll happen.
All right, next question is from Anthony in Melbourne, and he said he bought a new Android telephone, and he's not exactly sure how to use it, so he just sent in the copy instead of sending us an MP3, but he'll send an MP3 next time. So he says, until today, the Carp bullpen had done well keeping the team in games, so what do you attribute the improvement to the bullpen? And also, last year, Brian Bulletin was superb, yet this year he is struggling, 3-9. And I think he is the third highest paid player for the Carp, so what do you do with Bulletin? The bullpen, for me, I think they brought in some new guys. They gave some guys who had pitched poorly in the past, in past seasons, not this year per se.
Really past seasons, if we're talking about Kikuchihara.
Yeah, Kikuchihara, Kishimoto, Imai. They brought those guys, gave them some chances, and I think teams hadn't seen them in a while and forgot what they threw.
Kikuchihara is like a hero of the Carp bullpen from the late 90s.
Is that what you just mean? They dug him up and said, hey, you.
No. He's been, they had traded him. He's been kind of up and down, and they traded him to Oryx a few years ago, and then Oryx released him, and they brought him back, and they released him, and they re-signed him this year after they released him. Yeah. In fact, I think he was on the developmental roster at the start of this season. But they brought him back, and they brought Takeru Imai, who was what was the name we heard for him? The run maker?
Oh, you're talking about Imamura.
Imamura, excuse me.
What did I call him? Something terrible.
Yeah. Let's put it this way. You were critical, your job to be critical, man. Okay, and he had a bad stretch. I had seen him where his pitches really move, and he has a heck of a time controlling them, I think. And then he ends up throwing stuff right down the pipe. But he's been hot in a month. As for what's up with the Carp, to be honest, I really don't know. I mean, I looked at all kinds of different numbers, and there's nothing that stands out to me as the reason. Now, the interesting thing is that the Carp have lost essentially their best starter from last year, Bullington. They've lost their best reliever from last year, Surfate. And it's like they're a better team than – and they've lost their starting first baseman, and like they're a better team than they were before. So you go figure.
Yeah, Bullington, I mean, he's not getting hit that hard. The only thing is lefties are hitting 303 off him. And then overall, his batting average for opponents is 266. His ERA 4+ is really high. But 15 starts, he's had 7 quality starts.
Well, what I want to say about the Carp, I looked at something kind of interesting, is that I thought when you see something like the teams are, nothing's really changing with the Carp. And we were asking, or I guess you were sent me a message and mentioned the Eagles. What's up with the Eagles? And while I looked what's up with the Eagles, I don't know. The Eagles' offense has been worse than their opponents in terms of the things they've done offense. They've made more errors than their opponents have made, yet they're outscoring their opponents. Now, this is probably more than anything, just a random chance. It's kind of an odd thing that's happening. And all I can say with the Carp is Imamura's pitched well, Nicolio's pitched well. Yeah, as far as rhyme or reason, I don't think there is any. I think it's just one of those things that happen.
Hey, ride the wave. Ride the big red wave. And enjoy it. So thanks for the questions. We appreciate it. And a reminder, you can send us your questions or comments via MP3 file, and we can play them on the show. Send them to yakyujohn@gmail.com, and we will address it on the show.
Yeah, looking forward to hearing your voices in cyberspace.
All right, thanks a lot for listening. We'll talk to you next week. Enjoy your baseball.
See ya.